guys. A couple more things before we get into our text today. First, missions conference starts next week. We have Trevor and Sarah Hsu with us. He does more than just play the piano beautifully, turns out. I'm excited to hear from them. And we also have some friends from Southeast Asia joining us. Check the e-news, the church calendar, and your bulletin for more information on that. One thing that's important to know for our people online is that next week there will be no live stream due to our friends from Southeast Asia bringing the word. So make an effort to be here in person if you can. I'm really excited for the chili cook-off. I don't know about you guys, but I don't personally make a chili, but I really love going around and eating everybody else's hard work. So I am excited for that. Today is Youth Sunday, as Trevor mentioned. We do this a couple of times a year. We have students serving in all aspects of our church everywhere. It's an opportunity for them to serve in different areas, figure out how God has gifted them to serve. My heart, what you'll hear me say until I die or retire, is that I want to equip students for after they leave our church, not just to be in youth group, but to be a part of the bigger church so that when they go off to college, when they go into the workforce, they know how to get involved in a church. And this is a part of how we do that. So today, if you're a student, I have a challenge for you. Engage in conversation with an adult who isn't your parent. And if you're thinking, adults are scary, I don't want to talk to them, let me help you out with a question. Figure out who their favorite superhero is. I promise every adult in this room has a favorite superhero. And why? And if you're an adult, same challenge, engage in conversation with the student. And if you think students are scary, I don't want to talk to them, well, I guarantee they also have a favorite superhero and are much more passionate about it than you are. So if you could do that, we want to be an intergenerational church. So have conversations with people who are not in your age range and aren't related to you. Today we're finishing up our series on 1 Peter, so if you have your Bible or your phone on you, now is a really good time to turn to 1 Peter 5, 5 through 11. 1 Peter 5, 5 through 11, we're going to be talking about living strong for Jesus. Heads up that all of the scripture that I read will be out of the New Living Translation. So the words are going to be just a little bit different than the Bible that's under the seat in front of you, but I promise they really are saying the same thing. 1 Peter 5, 5 through 11. It says, in the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you dress yourself in humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourself under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen. We can live strong through Jesus through three things that we just pull right out of the text here in 1 Peter 5. The first is to be humble. Be humble. The Greek word that's used here is tapeno, and there's a 0% chance that I pronounced that right, but that's what it said in the blue letter Bible that I was reading. Greek word that's used here is tapeno, which means to make yourself low, to have a modest opinion of yourself. Pride is thinking that you know better and therefore you are better, and humility is the opposite of that. One of the commentaries I was reading this week said that humility preserves peace and order in all Christian churches and societies. Pride disturbs them. Verse 5 here says that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. That makes it pretty clear. Pride and humility is something that the Bible has a lot to say about. If you look at Philippians 2:3, it says, don't be selfish, don't try to impress others, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. And if you look at Colossians 3:12, it says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That gives us a really practical piece to this humility that's talked about in 1 Peter 5. It says to clothe ourselves in these things, to make these things the outward appearance that people see. One of the first things that we notice about people is what they're wearing. Maybe their t-shirt has a funny joke on it. We had a high schooler last year, he graduated and left us, who always seemed like every other week he was wearing a t-shirt that across the top said, that is not a good sign. And then it was a stick figure pointing at a sign that just had the word bad on it. Hilarious t-shirt. Hilarious t-shirt. One of the first things that I noticed about him. Maybe they're wearing flip-flops in the middle of the winter. Have you guys ever walked into a gas station in December and you're at a parka and there's some crazy person in there in shorts and flip-flops? One of the first things that you notice, maybe they're wearing a Vikings hat on this side of the state and you're trying to quell the rage that is inside you after seeing that. Whatever it is, clothing is often the first thing that we notice about people. This verse says, in the same way, make your compassion, make your kindness, make your humility, your gentleness, your patience the first thing that people notice about you. That the first thing that people notice about you, clothe yourself in that. And what happens when we humble ourselves under the mighty power of God? It says, at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. James 4:10 says the same thing. I went down a really deep rabbit hole this week of the comparisons between James 4 and 1 Peter 5. They're saying a lot of the same things, just to slightly different audiences and at a slightly different angle. But James 4:10 here says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor. So what's the first way that we can live strong for Jesus? Be humble. Be humble. Simple as that. The second way that we can be strong for Jesus is to be vulnerable. Be vulnerable. If we're real with ourselves, a lot of the times we're not vulnerable with God, even in our prayer. Think about that for a sec. A lot of the times we are not vulnerable with God, even in our prayer, whether corporately or in our one-on-one time with the Lord. It's easy to keep God behind a wall, to not keep it 100 with him. Verse 7 here says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. It can be easy for us to hold on to some worries about whatever it is to ourselves. The biggest thing that I've seen in my own life is that I can give the big stuff to God if my car breaks down and I don't know what I'm going to do. If someone I love is in the hospital, if something big happens in my life, I can give that to God. But I find that I don't bother him with the little everyday worries. Because I like being the person in control. I like problem solving. And where that often leads me is trying to take everything on myself and not bring it to God. This passage does a really good job of correcting that line of thinking, both directly and gently. It says, give all your worries and cares to God. Why do I want to do that? Because he cares about you. God wants to be a part of what's going on in your life. Psalm 62:8 says, O my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. Trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. There's a parallel here between pour your heart out and give all your worries and cares to God. Don't keep God behind a wall. Don't keep it at arm's length. be real with him about what's going on in your life. Be vulnerable. Guys, your strength in Jesus doesn't come from yourself. It comes from Jesus. It doesn't come from checking a box of being in prayer or being in the Word. It comes from who you're spending time with when you're in prayer and when you're in the Word. You can have all the head knowledge in the world, but if you're not being vulnerable with God, if you're not investing in your relationship with Him, if you're not taking that to heart, it doesn't matter. Be vulnerable. Philippians 4:6 says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done." Oh, that's a tall order. I don't know about you guys, but that's a hard one for me. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. I don't know about you guys, but me personally, I am a worrier. Real quick, how many of you guys have raised a puppy before sometime in your life? Good deal. So it is possible. Okay, good deal. My wife and I got an 8-week-old Brittany Spaniel back in the beginning of September, with the goal being to eventually have her be a hunting dog. I'm pretty big into pheasant hunting, and I thought this would be a fun way to expand on a hobby that I enjoy. And as I'm sure many of you are aware, it has been more work in some areas and less work in other areas than we were expecting. I was expecting the house training, I was expecting the teething, I was expecting a couple of weeks of less sleep. But one thing that I wasn't expected with getting a dog, one thing that kind of hit me out of left field, was the worry that came with it. Because it's easy for me to worry about how she's progressing in her training, or the amount of time that she spends in her kennel while we're at work, or whether or not she's ever going to stop teething and chewing on things in the house. Or if she'll ever stop attacking my socks when I'm trying to put them on in the morning. These are silly things for me to let keep me up at night. The remedy for this is simple. Give all your worries and cares to God and leave everything up to His counsel. I was reading this super old commentary by a dude named Matthew Henry. It's on its about millionth revision by now because it was originally written in like 1706. I love it for two reasons. One, it goes really deep into the scripture. It takes you verse by verse. It's awesome. Two, the entire thing's online for free. It says, when talking about 1 Peter 5, it says, "Firm belief that the divine will and counsels are right calms the spirit of a man. Truly, the godly too often forget this and fret themselves to no purpose. Refer all to God's disposal. The gold mines of all spiritual comfort and good are entirely His." I'm going to read that one more time. "Firm belief that the divine will and counsels are right calms the spirit of a man. Truly, the godly too often forget this and fret themselves to no purpose. Refer all to God's disposal. The golden mines of all spiritual comfort and good are entirely His." For me, it's comforting to know that other people have gone through the same stuff I've gone through, and there's a simple solution. Part two, how do we be strong for Jesus? Be vulnerable with Him. Give all your worries and cares to Him. The third thing that we see in this passage is that we need to be alert. I don't know about you guys, but I love watching documentaries. And for me, there isn't one specific topic that I like watching documentaries on. I'll watch them on everything from Finding Bigfoot to World War II to ancient architecture. It does not matter. One of the things that there is the most documentaries about is nature. It seems like there's a new breathtaking documentary out every year about God's creation. The last really cool one that I remember is called Blue Planet. Takes you through the oceans. Very cool, very cool. I remember seeing one a couple of years ago, though, that was documenting this pride of lions in the safari. The documentary followed them as they hunted and raised cubs and hung out in the shade. And lions are lame and they sleep a lot. But it was absolutely fascinating. One of the fascinating things is noticing how lions hunt. Because they don't run out in the open yelling at their prey, trying to scare them to death, or running out in the open trying to chase them down. In fact, lions aren't the fastest animal in the safari. And if they did that, they would get juked out by a gazelle and go hungry. So the way that they hunt is by slowly stalking their prey when their guard is down. Maybe the prey is munching on some grass. Maybe it's trying to take a nap under a tree. Maybe it's going to the water to get a drink. Maybe it just wandered a little too far from its prey buddies. Whatever it is, the lions sneak up on them, and that's how they survive. They survive by being intelligent and patient and crafty. This passage says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Just like these lions, Satan doesn't like an alert, combative prey. He's opportunistic. So how do we live strong for Jesus? Be alert. Be alert for sin in your life. The more we give in to sin, the less aware of it we become. It's incredibly important that we stay alert. And the thing is, Peter gives us two practical things that we can do to stay alert. Here he says, stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. Be alert. Paul gives us a step-by-step guide in exactly how we can do this in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. If you want to turn your Bibles there, we're going to spend quite a bit of time there. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. It says a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Put on the whole armor of God. That's how we stand firm. That's how we be alert. One of the things that we see, though, is that it's a lot easier for us to remain apathetic. It's a lot easier for us to not spend time in the Word daily. It's a lot easier for us to not do what we know we should be doing. Stay alert, friends. Build good habits. Be in your Bible. Make it a daily habit, whether you're 8 or 80. Spend time with the Lord every single day. Be in prayer. Make that a daily habit. Pray by yourselves daily. Give all your worries and cares to him because he cares about you. Pray by yourself daily and pray with other believers regularly, whether that's your parents or your siblings or your friends or your kids or whoever. Pray with other people that know Jesus. Students, if you really want to impress your parents, a good way to do that is saying, hey, Mom, hey, Dad, can we pray together? Parents, if you want to install prayer as a key part in the lives of your kiddos, model it for them. Pray with them. You living for Jesus in front of your kids will do more than anything that I can ever do as a youth pastor. Model Jesus well. Don't just pray with other believers regularly, though. Pray for other believers regularly. The last half of 1 Peter 5:9 says, remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. Man, I don't know if you guys feel like this, but I know what I go through, and I sure need prayer. And if other believers all over the world are going through the same stuff, they also need a lot of prayer. In this same vein, be with other people who know Jesus. Don't just pray for other people, be with other people that know Jesus. Not just we sit in the same room as other believers on a Sunday morning kind of way, but get plugged into a group of believers where you can share your burdens with one another, where you can do life together, where you can grow in Christ together. We have a lot of really cool small groups here that do exactly that. We would love for you to get plugged into one of them. However you do it, be in community with other believers. A great way to stay alert is to have people who watch your back. Be in community with other believers who will watch your back. Verse 10 in this passage, 1 Peter 5:10, says, "In his kindness God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation." Because of Jesus, we have hope for the future. So how do we live strong for Jesus? First, be humble. Colossians 3:12 says, "Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Like, clothing is the first thing that a lot of people notice about you. Let these traits of Jesus be the first thing that people notice about you. Like a funny t-shirt or a pair of flip-flops in the winter. Clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Second thing in how we live strong for Jesus, be vulnerable. Passage says, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you." Our strength comes from our relationship with Jesus. It doesn't come from ourselves. Strength comes from our relationship with Jesus, so be vulnerable with him. Give him 100%. I know it's easy to keep some stuff to ourselves. Be vulnerable with him. Third, be alert. The passage says, "Stand firm against the devil and be strong in your faith. Put on the whole armor of God." It's easier for us to remain apathetic, to not put in the effort, but it's important for us to build good habits. It's important for us to stay alert. Let me pray out. Lord, we love you. We want to follow you. We want to know you more. God, would you show yourselves? Would you show yourself to us? Lord, would you work in us? We want to be near you. Would you make that happen, God? We love you. In your name, amen.